Hey parents, hey leaders, welcome to the TardyCast. So excited we're doing another episode of this. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Today we have a very good friend of mine. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Everybody, I am Danny Bowers. I've been married to my wife, Kim Bowers, for 16 years. Been in student ministry 16 years. Lived here in Southern California for 15 years, but the last 2 years have been in the fabulous city of St. Louis, Missouri.
Have you ever been a volunteer? Have you been a volunteer before you were a pastor?
Yes, yes. Okay. I was a volunteer for about 9 months, and then they hired me.
All right, so volunteer, parent, pastor, father, been in Southern California, so you know, where we have people on maybe from different areas, you have a unique voice. And parents, like always, this is so simple. And leaders, so simple. 10, 15 minutes in the car, driving. This is an easy one. I think today is going to be a really good topic. So me and Danny, we know each other because when I got my start in ministry in Huntington Beach, I forgot how we initially got connected. I honestly do. But I remember we met at a Starbucks right by John Wayne Airport. Do you remember that?
We did. And you had a big old fat carabiner full of keys.
Yep.
And
gigantic from Missouri.
Exactly.
So I went to college in Missouri, for those who didn't know.
Yep. And we got connected and we started talking youth ministry.
Who connected us? How did that even go?
I believe it was through a blog that you commented on mine, and then I found out you were in Huntington Beach.
Yes.
My brother was living there at one point in time, so we just started talking shop, and then we hung out at coffee. You invited me for a volunteer training deal that you had at your church, and then I knew you when you got hired here, and we talked.
The volunteer training deal. Who was there?
You did street tacos in the parking lot.
Yes, I totally remember this. Yeah. This was awesome. Well, so I've known you for many, many years. This is a good opportunity to continue talking youth ministry. So this is for our parents, for our leaders. We love all of them. They're all great. I asked you to come up with a topic.
Yep.
Your fastball, something you love. What did you come up with? Now, keep in mind, I don't totally know, which is good. What did you come up with?
So the topic we're going to talk about is how to get your kids unstuck when they're stuck.
Okay. So coming from a 31-year-old junior high pastor, my kids don't get stuck that often. They are 17 months and a month. They're very, very young. Maybe by the time we post this, they'll be older, but not that much older. So getting stuck, define that for everyone so everyone's on the same page you're on.
Yeah, we as parents, we see our kids navigating different elements. They have different experiences in their life that affect them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And a lot of it is new elements that just create moments for them that they feel stuck. They don't know what to do with it. It can be going off to kindergarten and navigating the fact that they are no longer at home with mom or dad. It could be the fact that it's the first time they ever got left out of the friend birthday party. It could be the fact that they're in middle school and they're awkward because their body is growing faster than everybody else's and they just feel like they're out of it. As they get older into high school age and even young adult age, it's beginning to navigate. How do I handle the stress? How do I handle the responsibility of the car and the job and the homework? So there's different phases our kids are in, and there's stuck moments for all of them. So as parents, as leaders, how do we speak into their life to help them get unstuck?
Okay, so we're 4 minutes into this. You're listening to this parent. You're like, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. Leaders, you're probably thinking, where's this guy a pastor? I want to go be a leader in this guy's ministry. Because you know what you're talking about. This isn't like some random, you live this with your family, with your leaders.
Totally. As a dad, I've navigated this. So my kids are 13 and 12. My 13 will be 14 here in a month and a half. There's been moments in their lives that as a dad, so let me talk a little bit as a dad first.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've seen in my sons is there's moments that I've looked at and gone, man, if they keep this habit going, it's a train wreck that's going to happen. It's the reason that your kids, Beckett is how old?
17 months.
17
right now.
Months. So when he goes to reach for the hot stove, you do that. Nope, don't touch that. You explain to him why, but it's not a one-time conversation.
Absolutely.
It's repetitive. As parents, it's easy when our kids are younger to keep them safe. You keep them away from the pool. You keep them away from certain tides when they're out surfing or out by the beach. You want to keep them close to you when you're at Disneyland. When you're in the grocery store, you don't let them stand up in the cart.
Mm-hmm.
When they're young, you know that they're fragile. And something in us as parents begins to forget how fragile our kids really are as they grow up. We see them maturing. We want them growing up. But we sometimes forget that we have to slow down and help them prioritize. For example, my oldest, type A kid, firstborn, real responsible, very independent. However, the first time that he ever had the tough homework scenario, he was in third grade. And the reason it was a tough homework scenario is because he just didn't get it. And we were so used to him getting things and navigating. His teachers always praised him, and he was able to figure things out. And it was a reminder of having to slow down and go, hey, you don't get this. Here's the steps of how to get it. It's navigating responsibilities with clothes. My youngest is forgetful. So one of the things that my youngest has gotten a really bad habit of when he was younger was he would forget a water bottle at school, or he'd forget the jacket before the day left. So as parents, I said, I'm not going to save my kid, but I'm going to help him prioritize. Do you have a checklist for the day? Do you have that reminder? As our kids have gotten into middle school, we made a move. And in the midst of the move, we ripped them from all of they've ever been and experienced and known and friends and comfort. So it was helping them navigate these new waters of this is a new environment, new culture, new city, new hobbies, new everything, even new seasons. How do you navigate through that? And a lot of it came down to, as parents, we know how to balance a checkbook, get the car picked up from a mechanic, pick up the dry cleaners, make dinner, and also make sure our kids' homework is done, because we can navigate the stress. One of the things that we as parents have to be able to do is help our kids problem solve. And that's really what this is about. How do you help your kids problem solve? If you're stuck in a spot, let's talk this out. I think there's a couple different ways that parents can do this. We can take the authoritative approach, do this because I say so. Yeah. There's times that we navigate that well because you're 17 months old. You're going to tell your kid, don't touch the hot stove because mm-hmm. it told you so. Some parents I see take a hope perspective on this. Like, well, I hope one day they'll figure this out. But it's very flippant. It's casual. It's not very intentional. And I think the way that works the best is the relational conversations of finding those moments to talk to your kid about what really matters to them.
All right. So here's a question for you. So I'm a parent, not, you know, the parent of the age where the junior high or high school age.
Yep.
But I'm going to get there. And when I get there, I imagine that this is just another great opportunity, husband and wife conversation, just another opportunity of how are we going to deal with this? What is the plan? When we see the stucking happening, the kid getting stuck, when we see that happening, how we address it is just, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, how did you go about addressing it with your wife to make sure you were both on the same page? Because maybe you were brought up different. So there's probably a lot of parents that were brought up differently. Yep. Their parents express this to them differently. They come into marriage, maybe with a different perspective, but now you're parenting the same kid. So how do you get on the same page with identifying these things and responding to them with your spouse on the same page?
Yeah, we do. We're very polar opposite upbringings. We had to make a decision. Who are we as a family? So we are a family of four. It's my wife, myself, our two sons. That's it. What do we want to do? To back that up, when we were at your kids' age, we really thought about what are the values we want our kids to express as they get older? What are the characteristics we want them to have? The other questions that we asked was, what are some of the goals we have for our kids' life? And that's not, I want my kid to get into Stanford or Harvard, which is great if they get there, but it was more of the goal of, I want my son to be a self-confident blessing to society. I don't need him to be a good kid. I actually really don't want to raise a good kid. I want to raise a young man who loves Jesus, who's willing to bless his society around him. So because we knew those were kind of cornerstones for our family dynamic, it allowed us to come back to those questions of, hey, Cody's really struggling with his homework pattern. Do you see this? And often my wife would catch this more because she was a stay-at-home mom for mm-hmm. many, many years. So she would bring it up to me going, hey, I'm noticing this in Cody. Are you noticing this similar thing in other areas of his life? It wasn't about the homework. It was about the pattern behind why he was stuck in homework. And one of the things that we noticed was he was confused and frustrated with some of his homework because it didn't come easy. Well, it was also at a point where he grew 4 inches as a fourth grader, and he was really gangly, really awkward, uncoordinated, and he felt really defeated. And so mm-hmm. it wasn't the fact he struggled with homework. It was the fact that he felt defeated. Okay, so how do we address that? How do we address that defeat in him? So really, there's a lot of conversation.
So, you know, my mom was a single mom. There's a lot of single parents.
Same with mine. That's our story.
Yeah, totally. So, and we have a great single parent. There's a life group of single parents, single moms and dads.
Oh, I love
that. We're in a life group here at the church. And I, being a single parent, there's not a lot. There's a number of staff at Mariners who have a single parent upbringing. I get to be in a unique position as I lead junior high, knowing the power of a single mom and you know what that was like. So for the single mom or the single dad who is listening to this and saying, well, you know, I don't have anyone to bounce that off of, or, you know, it's just me with the couple of kids, and, or even more so. And I think you're just better equipped to answer this question from the cut of, well, maybe the way I deal with it is different, but when they're at mom's house or when they're at dad's house, you know, they're single via divorce, the way they do it is different. Maybe we haven't mastered co-parenting yet. So the way they do it is different. So how do I give, how do I interact with this topic while giving a consistency to what my kid is experiencing through, you know, essentially two different households?
Yeah, single parents, I love you. I was raised by a single mom, a really dysfunctional scenario. So you are a fan of mine. I support you. Your home is your home. At the end of the day, you have to create the boundaries that you have in your house. And the hard part is if you're dealing and it's not a healthy co-parenting scenario, or it's awkward and it's tension filled, you still have to come back to going, okay, in our house, we know regardless if you're the mom or the dad, we get it maybe different there, but this is who we are here.
So I hear you say that, and I immediately think that, well, that sounds scary.
Yep.
But I also hear there's a lot of freedom in that. There's permission to say, oh, well, I don't have to meet in the middle. This I can hold to, and what I can hold to my values as a mother or a father, or single parent. I can hold to those values. I can hold to what I believe God is calling me to. Maybe the spouse isn't a believer.
Right.
I can hold to those things in my house. There's freedom for me to do that, permission for me to do that, and not feel guilty about doing that.
Yeah, boundaries aren't restrictions. Boundaries are actually the breadth of freedom you actually have for your kids. So when you say, hey, we have a value that your curfew is at 9 o'clock as an eighth grader during the school year, mom and dad may let you stay up until 10:30, but here I want you to get rest because I want you to be well rested for your day tomorrow. That's just communicating a value you have. If the kids are younger, hey, we really want to do dinner together without the TV. We want to be able to have conversations. If you do that at their house, that's great, but this is what we do here. And you're just trying to model for your sons or daughters, this is the value you have as you're following Jesus. Because remember, you're still an individual following Christ. Mm-hmm. You're still an individual who's trying to make life work as you parent. Your kids are never the CEO of the family. And even in this, I see a lot of kids that get stuck because mom and dad give them actually too much freedom, and they train wreck into moments because they've never actually had to navigate boundaries, or they've never had the parent ask the tough questions, going, hey, we really see this, whatever this is characteristic in you, and we're concerned about it. Can we talk about it? Can we get ahead of the game? And a lot of it's proactive instead of reactive
parenting. So let me make an observation.
Yeah.
Tell me how you agree or disagree. Every kid will get stuck in different places. Every kid's process for getting unstuck may be different, and every kid's amount of freedom or lack of freedom is different for every kid at every age. So I think those are obvious statements to make, but they're worthwhile statements to make because this, you have a parent who has done this before with the first kid. Maybe the first kid was easy. It was simple navigating the conversations. And then kid number two comes along completely different.
Right.
Speak to that a little bit. Like how do you as a parent, because your kids, I assume your kids are different.
Very much so. How do we
as a parent make the calibrations, you will, in how we do our style for what really meets the needs of our kids?
Yeah, I mean, this is where you got to remember every kid is different, and every kid has his or her own unique characteristics, and you're trying to breathe life into that of how God has created them. So that's just a first reminder. The second one is, I think you have to take captive and capture the little moments for each kid. I value a daily attentive time with my kids and a weekly one-on-one time with my kids. So I'm a student of my own children. I want to know them. I ask open-ended questions. I want to get to know their likes, their dislikes. When our boys were little, Cole, our youngest, would play with train tracks, and he would build this massive design all by himself. It was look super elaborate, and he would be Godzilla over it and just destroy it. Cody would do the same thing, but he would preserve it. He'd want to show it off. And so we begun to notice that, hey, when Cody makes something unique and the little brother comes and destroys it, it hurts him because he hasn't had a chance to show it off. When the older brother come in and destroy the younger brother's thing, he thought he was playing well. So fast forward that, You have a child for us who's very hypersensitive to the fact that what he does matters and he wants it seen. And you got another one who's going like, look, I don't care what happens because it doesn't affect my identity. So just being a student of your kids is important. And you do that through daily time, through weekly time, and it's meeting them where they're at. As a parent, I want to invite my kids. I want to be invited in their world, but I also want to ask questions to open them up. So mm-hmm. It's real specific. Hey, you talk about your friend Michael. Tell me a little bit more about Michael. What's he like? And don't dig for information, but casually build on that. And you just got to have a good memory. You got to be fully present with your kids when you're talking to them about that. So just being very present. The other thing is the process, but it's not as important as the journey.
Mm.
What works now with your fourth grader is not going to work the same with your 14-year-old or even 24-year-old as they're out of college and starting their own life. The parent voice you have, the journey with your kids is more important than just the specific process you think will work. There's 100 books out there that you could read, and you got to really say what's best for our family with the values we have as we're trying to follow Jesus. For those of you that are single parents, I think you also need another soundbite. You need a third ear for your kid. Life group leaders, a solid biblical a coach who loves Jesus, a teacher who can be a leverage influence. So talk to them about what they see when you're not around because you don't have an extra set of eyes in the house.
So the last thing, touching on parents real quick. If I'm a parent of a 10th grader,
yep,
never have done this before, maybe things have come up, haven't really known how to deal with it, so maybe I didn't deal with it, which sure. there's forgiveness for that.
Absolutely.
I've dealt with it, and I've dealt with it the wrong way. Me and mom weren't on the same page. It's been a debacle. And now I listen to this, and other opportunities coming up, and I don't want to screw this one up, but you know, is it too late to develop healthy practices? Is it too late to sit down with my kid and establish a conversation of healthy practices? If I missed the boat, if my kid's in high school and I didn't do this while they were younger?
No, it's not too late, but it does take hard work. And you have to be intentional with it.
And I love that answer. I think that whenever people ask that question of is it too late? No, it's not too late. Right. Just jump in and start doing it. But there is hard work involved in order to do it right.
Yeah, the old phrase, Rome wasn't built in the day, and healthy relationships don't happen overnight. And even those of you that say, hey, I started when they're young and I'm still hitting roadblocks, that's okay, keep at it. Like, it's worth it. And that's where parenting is a challenge and the journey is a part of it. The end result is never they're 18 and out of the house. The end result is healthy relationships with my kids. So if you're taking the 10th grade example, I would say, where are they at as a 10th grader? You may have to start with forgiveness. You may have to say, hey, and seeking forgiveness, going, look, it's been a debacle. I'm going to let you declare that. And I'm actually going to invite my 10th grader to speak into my parenting and go, where have I gone wrong? Where would you have liked me as dad or mom to have done something different? What do you want from me now? And I think you have to invite that because they are young adults. They are pursuing adulthood. So how do you begin to treat them that way? But no, you're never too late. You just got to be willing to work hard.
All right, last thing. I'm a volunteer leader. I want to really care for and help the students in my group connect with their parents. I want to help partner with parents. We talk about that all the time in junior high and high school ministry, teaching our volunteers to partner with parents. So what does healthy partnering with a parent look like in a topic like this? Because I'll, as a volunteer, we'll see a kid getting stuck. Maybe they will confide something in me, and I'm not promoting breaking limited confidentiality, which we talk about, you know, as long as it doesn't fall under the three hurts of hurting themselves or hurting someone else or being hurt by someone. As long as it doesn't fall into those categories, you don't want to break confidentiality with a student, but you want to partner with a parent to set the parent up to win. That is true partnership. So how do I, as a volunteer, and the volunteers of listening, how can they take what they hear from students or take what they're experiencing in a life group and set a parent up to win without betraying what maybe they were told or been told by that student?
Yeah, I think parents, I always tell leaders this, there's two sides to every story. And we as mentors, as volunteers, we have to play the middle ground. And we have to be able to realize that the student's version of it may not be the most accurate, and the parent's version of it may be missing the student's side. So that's one thing. I think another thing is leaders, you have the ability to drop insights to parents to give them wins. We encourage our adult leaders to be able to drop postcards or texts or emails to the parents to go, hey, just so you know, John tonight really shared the fact that you guys had a fun family vacation this summer. I don't know if he's expressed that to you, but expressed it tonight. Just want you to know it. Giving parents some wins as life group leaders, because you hear insights that they're maybe the kids isn't sharing with the parent, and it gives the parent something to maybe spark a conversation. So John's dad can go, hey, what was such a win for you? Because I heard you shared that at life group, or there's, you got to navigate some of that. But I definitely think trying to get some sound bites back to the parents is good. The other thing is seek them down when they're around church. Say hi to the parents in front of your students that you're loving on and shepherding in front, and talk highly of the kids in front of the mom and dad. That gains you trust, authentically do this, obviously, gains you trust from the student, but it also allows you to see some parent-student interaction when you're around them.
Mm-hmm. I love this. Oh, you know, Danny, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, man.
This has been great. Parents, I know that you're probably, hopefully you're taking notes, not while you're driving, but you're probably like, oh my gosh, I got to listen to this again with someone, or send this to a friend, send this to a spouse, send this to people that have influence with your kid, and encourage them to listen to it. It's short, it's not that long, but the hope here is that we're leveraging what our great leaders are doing and the great people in your student's life and what you're doing to benefit the student, to love and care and help the student more. So I hope you enjoyed it today. We'll see you guys this weekend at church. We can't wait. And don't forget, we love doing TardyCast for you guys as parents and leaders, because we don't want you being late to leadership. So we'll have another one out next Friday. See you guys at church. Talk to you later.